Good afternoon. This is Pastor Andy Proctor with Grace Baptist Church in Rural Hall, North Carolina. I'm going to be dealing with a subject. It's a bit controversial and maybe a little negative at the beginning, but I assure you at the end it will be positive. But I want to look at two passages. First of all, Isaiah chapter 3 and verse 9. The show of their countenance doth witness against them. And they declare their sin as Sodom, they hide it not. Woe unto their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. And then we see Proverbs 16:18. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Let's pray. Our Father God, as we deal with this subject, we pray, Father, that it would be done in love. And Lord, that it will be received likewise and embrace the truth that is in your word. Father, anoint your message, for without your anointing, Lord, it will not be understood and well received. God, we pray that it would redound to your glory most of all and be a benefit to those who are listening. We ask now, Father, you forgive me of my sins, fill me with the Holy Spirit, and empty me of myself. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm dealing with the subject of the shameful sin of sodomy. And it's subtitled that Gay Pride Month is an oxymoron. And let me explain that. First of all, I'm not saying gay. I'm saying sodomite because it's a biblical word. As we'll find out here in a little bit, we see it Sodom. Declare their sin as Sodom, back in Genesis. They hide it not. There's no shame. There is pride in their sin, which God calls it sin. Woe unto their soul. I say it because I care for the souls. How would, you know, it would be very unloving for me to not speak on something that's going to end up sending someone to hell if they don't repent and believe on Christ instead, and his word instead. So it is not a hate crime, it is a love thing. Love toward the people and love toward God. Love of the truth. But first of all, there's nothing gay about being a sodomite. And I'm sorry if that word offends people, but it's a biblical term. And I don't mean to be hateful. I mean, it's not the only sin in the Bible. There is adultery and fornication and many others, but this is one too that needs to be preached against. And second, you know, I've read various testimonials of people who are sodomites who say there's nothing gay about it. It's trumped up to try to convince themselves that they are. And there's certainly nothing to be proud of because it's an abomination, a sin against God. But shame is a word rarely used today, for we are horribly prideful in this country. Shame in the Bible means to blush, to be embarrassed, to make little, to be reproached. It's a sad thing that the Cartoon Network celebrates the LGBTQ, Pride Month, as they call it. They ought to be ashamed of themselves to affect and influence little children, the impressionable minds of little children, to sin in that way. And the Christian baker Jack Phillips sued for the third time over not baking cakes that would celebrate was an abomination before God and against his belief system. They're picking on him and bullying him. I mean, it's pathetic and so hypocritical. They could get a cake baked anywhere else. But somewhere along the way, the month of June was designated a lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgendered, or really ought to be transvestite when I was growing up, and queer, LGBTQ Pride Month. We must beware the perversion that boasts in this kind of pride. And still, it's celebrated all over the country by governors, businesses, etc. The colors of the rainbow, which is really a biblical thing about God not destroying the world by a flood. But it's all to celebrate this LGBTQ movement and parades. And so it's definitely something that is promoted, at least, as being mainstream, although only 2.7% of the population are of that persuasion, and 4.5 if you count in the millennials, and that percentage, of course, is according to Gallup. And so this percentage is interesting, that despite if we give the higher number, 4.5% of the population here, but primetime television, there nearly 9% of all characters are LGBTQ. No other group can command that kind of treatment. So we see that the media is trying to push that down people's throat. You know, before the 1990s, sodomy was considered abnormal, certain nothing to be proud of, and so much has changed. And anybody who's mildly critical or questions sodomy, it can cost you your livelihood. That's the prejudice and persecution. You know, they talk about fair treatment and being loving and all that stuff, and then they throw that at you. It's like, that's a bit hypocritical at the very least. If you remember back in 2014, when a man named Michael Sam was elected to the NFL draft, and he was the first open sodomite when he did something unmentionable there with another fellow, another person, another man, then one of his Miami Dolphins defensive back, Don Jones, tweeted horrible in reaction to the ESPN video and was swiftly fined with an undisclosed amount and suspended from team activities until he completed sensitivity training, quote unquote. And Jones subsequently deleted the tweets, made his Twitter account private, and issued a public apology to Sam, and calling his biased comments about the sodomite player, quote unquote, inappropriate. So again, it can cost a person's livelihood. Now, if that turned the tables and that would happen to a Christian, oh, that's okay. See how hypocritical that is and unloving that is. And it's a sensitive thing. You get labeled as a bigot or a hater and publicly shamed. And it's, you know, many Americans in the corporate world have to have this diversity training, which is code for force feeding the LGBTQ agenda on them. And so this movement has basically conquered the Western world in so many respects. The only thing that they lack is shutting down God's people, and which still believes that sodomy is a sin. Of course, many others, not even part of the church, that are conservatives, understand that. But it's because the Bible teaches it. It's so very clear. We're going to get into it in just a little bit. But the scriptures tell us that it's unnatural, immoral, unhealthy, Christian or not. Everyone pretty much knows this, even if they are afraid to say so publicly. And I'm not going to be afraid. I'm going to be loving enough to tell people, and we need to do the same if we believe that. God made male for female sexually. As for the transgender, they or transvestites, they have more serious issues that cause them profound confusion. It's really tragic. But what I wanted to first of all deal with was sodomy is shameful because our Creator says so. If you look over in Genesis 19, beginning in verse 4, it says, "But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom," these men laid down, that is, these men that came in, these messengers that came in to Lot's place, that is Abraham's nephew. He lived there in Sodom. But these men of the city compassed a house round about, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us that we may know them." And Lot went out of the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold now, see, they just wanting to know them, and which is a term that deals with sexually knowing them, men with men. And so he says, do not so wickedly. And we go down again there in verse 9, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourn, and that he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. See the violent tendencies. And they pressed a sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. And understand, we're not saying all of Sodomites are like that, but there is there are those who do. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them and shut to the door. These messengers did. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, so both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, hast there any besides, son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the sea? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. It is the iniquity of it all. We see there in verse 24 of the same chapter, then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven, and he overthrew those cities and all the plain and that which grew upon the ground. We see there in verse 15, it says, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. This sodomy characterized that. And later on in the Bible, we see that they're called Sodomites, going back to Sodom, that same sin. And then Jesus refers to it, and he doesn't make any apologies for it. He doesn't explain it away. He refers to it in Luke 17:29, but the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. And then Peter, there in 2 Peter 2:6, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. So sodomy is shameful because God says it is. And that should be enough. But let's go even further. Sodomy is shameful because it is because nature says so. It's in Jude chapter 1, verse 7. Notice it says, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities round about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange or unnatural flesh. Instead of a man with a woman, it was men with men or women with women and so on and so forth. Going after strange, unnatural flesh are set forth and for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. This is the significance and importance of this, that we deal with this. And in Romans chapter 1 and verse 25, it says, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, these particular people, God gave them up unto vile affections, saying in effect that you want your vile affections, you're going to keep rejecting and blaspheming and doing what you want? Okay, fine, go ahead then. For even their women, as he describes now what these people were like, even their women did not change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one to another, men with men working that which is unseemly and ungodly, in other words, and receiving in themselves the recompense of their error, which was meet, which was proper, which was fair, which was just. So we see that it's against nature. I mean, matter of fact, if everybody practiced sodomy, we'd go extinct, you know? It's not natural at all. And then we look over thirdly. Sodomy is shameful because God's judgment says so. Look there, and we've seen a little bit of this already, but look over in 1 Kings 14:24, which says, "And there were also Sodomites in the land, and they did according to all the abominations of the nations which the Lord cast out before the children of Israel." They were Sodomites there in the land of Canaan. The cup of iniquity, as was told earlier in the Old Testament, of the Amorites had been full now. And part of that iniquity, that cup of iniquity, was sodomy being practiced. And God's judgment vomited them out of the land. It was sickening. And therefore the children of Israel came in. And that could apply to any nation when the judgment falls upon any other nation. There in Leviticus 20 and verse 13, again, God's judgment. It says, "If a man also lie with mankind as he lieth with woman, both of them have committed an abomination, they shall surely be put to death, their blood shall be upon them." That's God's judgment. That's the seriousness of it. That is that was the theocracy. We don't have that now, so don't get too excited. It is, but it shows and it expresses God's seriousness about this sin. There were other sins that would require that, such as murder. Okay, we're not saying this is only sin. Understand. But revival and restoration of a nation is indicated by the removal of sodomy. There in 1 Kings chapter 15, verse 12, "And he took away," speaking of the kings of Judah, "he took away the Sodomites out of the land and removed all the idols that his fathers had made." Idols and sodomy are in the same sentence here. It was, then there was revival. In 1 Kings 22:46, "The remnant of the Sodomites, which remained in the days of his father Asa, he took out of the land." 2 Kings 23:7, "And he brake down the houses of the Sodomites that were by the house of the Lord, where the women wove hangings for the grove." It's part of false religion as well. But nonetheless, when that was removed, then there was revival and restoration when people repented of that sin. But the biggest problem is that sodomy seriously harms other people, which, you know, is something that we should never want to do. There's a whole list of health problems associated with sodomy, both physically and mentally, just to name a few. There's HPV, there's hepatitis, there's rectal and throat gonorrhea, there's what they call gay bowel syndrome, that's HIV, AIDS, anal cancer, and the list goes on and on. And what's particularly sad, according to research, it is normal for a homosexual or sodomite to have a STD, a sexually transmitted disease, and continue to have unprotected sex. And, you know, if you look at various websites, you find that this is a serious problem. Syphilis is another fast-growing problem among sodomites. It's a sad thing. It hurts other people. Why should I be willing to be quiet or promote such a thing? It is so unlike the God-ordained, God-sanctioned love between a married couple, a husband and a woman, wife, which is pure, undefiled delight. I mean, it's amazing what I've heard about and read about on these sites where the doctors would say continue to engage in sodomite behavior even when someone is physically injured until surgery is required. I mean, it's just sick and unhealthy and immoral. The sad thing is they're rewarding, as our text says in Isaiah 3:9, it says the show of their countenance does witness against them, their prideful look about it. And they declare their sin as Sodom. They hide it not. They're just obstinate and rebellious. Woe unto their soul. I was talking about harmful to the body. Well, this body is going to die one day, but the soul, the eternal, immortal soul, woe to their soul, for they have rewarded evil unto themselves. They've made the choice to continue on. They've made the choice not to investigate it and research it for themselves and really want to know the truth. They damn themselves in their stubborn, enslaving sodomy. And I hope and pray that you never bring yourself this swift destruction and that you would repent and turn away from that sin and all your sins and believe and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, so that He would save you and rescue you and make you pure before His eyes. And you will have a new heart and new desires. We see, again, that there was that fire and brimstone that it rained down. It is typical of God's fire and the hell that someone is going to experience. But I want to reiterate there in Romans chapter 1, verse 26. It says, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change a natural use in that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. Now verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God, that is the God of Holy Scripture, to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate or hopeless mind to do those things which are not convenient, because they were so stubborn and so prideful and so narrow-minded that they didn't even want to talk about it or discuss it. That's how closed-minded that they are, enslaved to the sin. That's a sad place to be in. But the good news is my fourth point. Not only is sodomy shameful because God says so, not only is sodomy shameful because nature says so, and not only is sodomy shameful because God's judgment says so, but sodomy is shameful, but Christ bore the shame. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, first of all, there's a messianic psalm, a psalm that speaks of the Messiah, speaks of Christ. There in Psalm 69, 7 through 9, it says, but because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I'm become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproach thee are fallen upon me. Jesus took on the shame. Now, we're not talking about just sodomy. We're talking about all sin is shameful. But it says there in Hebrews 12, verse 2, looking unto Jesus. Don't look at excuses. Don't look to the world. Don't look at the so-called experts. Looking unto Jesus, the Creator, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, that punishment for sin, voluntarily, willingly, lovingly, despising the shame of being on the cross and suffering for sin and for sinners, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He was victorious over the sin. He was victorious over the sodomy. His victory over death and hell and the grave. Now, how do I know this? Because in 1 Corinthians 6, chapter 9, tells us, it says, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, because we can be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, those who make up a god that's to their liking, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, or another word for sodomites, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, some of the members of the church at Corinth that God had saved and had sanctified and purified and made holy, living holy lives. They were. Some of them were sodomites. Some of them practiced sodomy. The truth can set you free, can make you free. It says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Not justified by my feelings, not justified by the media, not justified by whoever, but justified by the Lord who made heaven and earth, the Lord Jesus Christ, and what he did at Calvary and who he is, and by the Spirit of our God. So I plead with you, if you are engaged in sin, turn from your sins. Flee the wrath to come. Turn to the Lord Jesus Christ as he is revealed in Holy Scripture. And you know, those of us who are converted and we're believers, I'm telling you right now, this is becoming a very up close and personal issue. Right at our front door, the window of opportunity may be just a little while like we enjoy now. But in March, the U.S. House of Representatives and the U.S. Senate introduced the Equality Act, which is anything but equal, basically demands what they call equal treatment, but in reality, those who want to practice their faith are not treated equally at all. And I don't have time to go into all the details. I encourage you to look it up, the Equality Act. It's the same kind of thing, that is promoted here in this act, that in Decatur, Georgia, a young girl was sexually molested in her school restroom by a boy who was allowed in as a result of a type of policy that the Equality Act would force on the whole nation. And that's just a few things. There's so much there that... you know, as far as the transvestite, some people call it transgender. You can't change your gender. You have to change your DNA, which is, again, we can't do that. And it's something, if we could, is unnatural. But it would forbid churches and religious or nonprofits from requiring their employees to live out the religious benefits about marriage, sexual morality, and the distinction between the sexes. It is a serious, serious bill. Understand, beloved, that if you're a child of God, understand that Jesus said in Mark 13:13, and you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And it says in Matthew 5:22, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's the kind of attitude that we need to have. We need to have a love. Love doesn't rejoice in iniquity, but it says there in 1 Corinthians 13:6, it rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. And if we love people, we're going to tell them about the bad news about their sin and the good news of Jesus Christ. Jesus paid the penalty. He paid the price. He paid the bill, if you will, for us on the cross, so that everyone who believes on him would have everlasting life. That is good news. It's going to be a place where there's no sin, no sorrow, no death, none of that, none of the things that are miserable in this life. But it's got to be his terms. And we need to just believe on him. Don't trust in man. Pride goes before destruction. It says there in Proverbs, and when we look at the context, better is it is to be of an humble spirit with a lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. We find that Jeremiah says, "But the Lord is with me as a mighty terrible one," in Jeremiah 20:11. "Therefore my persecutors shall stumble, and they shall not prevail. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten." And he says here, also it's a perpetual shame in Jeremiah 23:40. So may God bless you with repentance and faith in the Lord Jesus is my prayer. God bless you.